The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. She's the smartest girl on the show.
I have a question.
It's News-ish with Betty Rock on The Wally Show.
Growing up, my parents were sure to teach me that the people I surround myself with will have an effect on me, whether I like it or not. They'll have an effect on me on how I conduct myself, whether good or bad. And that's why I think it's so important that if you have a bad friend in your life, you need to make a few changes to that relationship. So I found a list of what makes for a bad friend.
Okay.
So if you notice these qualities, and if you hear them and you're like, oh, I know that person, or you hear them and you're like, oh, I am that person. Make some changes.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so the first one, they tear people down with mean gossip. So if they're talking that bad about someone behind their back, what's stopping them from doing the same about you? I have had this thought. I've been with friends where I've heard them talking constantly about how bad someone is, and I'm thinking to myself, if it's this easy for you to talk about that bad about someone behind their back, what's stopping you from doing that with me?
See, that's where you have to have a healthy, like, self-image, because you're like, oh yeah, that person's crazy. I totally get it. They'd never talk about me like that because I'm awesome.
But even if you are confident in who you are, it's not good that someone is spreading false claims behind your back.
And it's also, it's one of those things too, like when bosses will run somebody else down and then you're like, oh, are they doing that to me too? And so bosses have to be really careful.
Yeah. Another characteristic to look out for, they're brutally honest. Friends should be able to be honest with one another, but they shouldn't be mean about it.
Sure. So delivery is important.
Yeah. So if they're noticing little things that they don't like about you and just being ugly with it.
Well, the Bible even talks about this. It says, season your rebuke with salt. It's like, just season it. You don't want to call somebody out and then just bludgeon them. It's like, you can do that, be honest with people, but just season it with salt.
Can you give me the reference for that?
I cannot. But it's in the Bible. Look it up.
And then finally, when friends don't take no for an answer, so they keep pressuring you to do something you're not comfortable with, or they keep prodding you to talk about something you don't want to talk about.
I've had to learn this with Betty Lou, and she had to set me straight for how to deal with her.
Yes.
Because I, as a good friend, would see you in trouble and would want to help. And
you'd
that
be
would
like,
be
what's
my,
wrong? What's wrong? Tell me
what
now.
Can I do?
No,
what can I do?
Now.
How can I help you?
I need to know.
Yeah.
And I need time to think about what it is that's actually bothering me, because I cannot put a finger on it.
We developed a really good system for us and our relationship, is that now when she's like that, I go, okay, does it have anything to do with me? And when she goes no, I go, okay, fine, talk to me when you're ready. But if it has something to do with me, then I'm like, I want to deal with it now.
No, tell me now.
Exactly.
Now.
But when you're like, it's not you, I go, okay, good. Let me know when you're good. You know, so maybe you could institute that in your friendships if you have a friend like me that's a little too involved. Uplifting WayFM, this is The Wally Show. And there was a lady that was in a car wreck, and you think, oh my goodness, that's horrible. She had to be flown to the hospital, and, you know, they're working on her. And while they're working on her, they found a small tumor. And they were able to catch it before it became really bad. And they said they probably would not have caught this in time had it just gone left unchecked. And so the car accident, the thing that felt really, really bad, was ultimately the thing that helped save her life, the doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of crazy. That's one of those things that's really easy to look at the situation and go, oh, Lord, why? Why did I get in this car accident? You know, because we always, like, so many people's first reaction is to blame God. Like, why did this happen? But then a lot of times when you pull back, there's some reason inside of that that it happens. And sometimes it's actually provision and protection.
And I think it's good for our mental well-being, too, to take some time every now and then to look back and see how God has provided for us when things were tough, how he walked with us through that tough time.
Absolutely. So that's what we kind of want to discuss right now with you, is what was that blessing in disguise? The thing that didn't feel good in the moment, But then because of some sort of situation, it turned into something good. You know, like losing a job sometimes can be your worst moment. Like I have a friend of ours that we all know, and he lost his gig, and it seemed like the worst. But he was doing this ministry on the side called Shower Up, where he, you know, has mobile shower trucks for homeless people. And that was like his passion. And him losing his job ended up leading him to where he does this thing full time and is expanding and growing. And God's hand is all over this ministry and doing great things with it. And you're like, had you not lost your gig, you would have never had it become what it is now, you know? And so it's that blessing in disguise. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about with you and your example from your life, what you've seen. Because you might give somebody the encouragement they need in the moment that they're dealing with to zoom out a little bit and look for God's hand in this and what might be doing through you instead of to you, you know? 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. We love having you on the show with us. 855-33-WAY-FM. Have you ever been in a situation similar to that where you had a blessing in disguise?
I absolutely have. 8 to 10 years ago, I was really on a reckless path. I was drinking a lot, drinking and driving, just really not in a good place. A friend of mine and invited me to church, which I had not been in many, many, many years. As a kid, I did, but straight away as an adult. So the 3 Sundays prior to this event happening, I went to church, really thought I was doing good. And Saturday night, I got a DUI.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I went to jail, stayed in jail all night long. It was one of the most traumatic experiences in my life. But I remember clearly laying in that cell on that hard bed, freezing to death, cussing God. You know, here I am trying to do better. I'm trying to go to church again, and this is how you repay me.
It is funny when you think about it now. It's like you're mad at God for your actions, you know?
Yes, well, and you know, you let this happen to me, but honestly, it was him wrapping his arms around me and keeping me safe and teaching me a lesson to keep me from doing that, because I was on a path I would have ended up killing somebody or myself.
I do think that sometimes the things we say, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? It's actually him protecting us, sometimes even from ourselves. And that's kind of the case with your story as well. But I appreciate being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Does that ever happen to you?
Yes. So about 2 years ago, I was put on a new diabetes medication, had a reaction to it. The reaction presented as a TIA, which is like a mini stroke. So in the midst of all the scans and everything, they found a small aneurysm. And the first diagnosis was that they were going to have to cut my skull open.
Ooh.
Yeah. But by the grace of God, and this was God showing me, hey, I've got you. Yeah, you have this diagnosis, but it's not where you stand. So my next scan, the neurosurgeon said, I don't feel the need to operate. It's been 2 years, and my last one, she said, it still has not moved. And I said, that's because God has got me.
I could see the doctor's astonishment if Betty Rock ever had to have brain surgery, and they open it up, and they're just like, hello, 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 hello.
So funny.
Well, Jody, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Have a good day.
Random acts of audio.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and today's random act of audio comes to us from somebody who listens to the show and emailed me and was like, hey, you need to check this out. I've always been a John Foreman and Switchfoot fan, and I found a new song with him and another great artist. So I'm like, oh, okay. Because I think we all in the room like Switchfoot, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially, we were just talking the other day about how great that one album.
Beautiful Letdown.
But Beautiful Letdown. And I remember they really caught the wave when they were on A Walk to Remember. Do you remember that Nicholas Sparks movie?
Yeah.
Dare you to Women.
Oh, that's a great song, by the way. But then you've got Brandon Lake, who does songs that we love here, like Gratitude and stuff like that, and he's just tearing it up right now. So then you take these two big force majeures, if you will.
Is that a word?
It is.
There's no.
It is a word.
It is.
Yeah,
it
is.
Later.
Making things is. Up. Try sure, to spell sure. it. I couldn't spell it if I had to.
Majeures.
Two big. I think it's French. But again, we're getting very sidetracked here. So you have two great
How would you
artists.
You spell that?
I couldn't if I had to. We have two great artists combining together to do a song, and I believe the song is called Strong, and so this is John Foreman and Brandon Lake.
Yeah, why do I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need.
Little falsetto, some harmony there. Not bad. That's kind of a chill vibe song for sure.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
No, that's good. And that's the best thing you can say is I don't hate it. What a glowing recommendation. That should be in the comments. The first comment on their new song. Betty Rock from The Wally Show says, I don't hate it. There you go. That's your random act of audio. They worked so hard on that song, too, and for I don't hate it.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us, but going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures, and I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that, but it was so different than I had imagined, and way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of, but instead I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
He'll help you make sense of today's stories.
Not been much for public speaking or school, really.
As soon as someone explains them to him, it's News-ish with Wally.
Traveling with your family is getting more and more expensive. You know, you do that really fun vacation that you plan and you have it all budgeted out, and it might end up costing you more in the future. Like, say you wanted to go to Legoland. Well, Legoland is rolling out what they're calling dynamic pricing.
Oh, boo.
Adjusting prices based on increased demand at busier times. Not a new concept because a lot of companies are doing this. Disney does this as well. And they say, at least for our businesses, this is Legoland, surge pricing is not the same as dynamic pricing. I beg to differ, sir. It is. It's exactly the same thing. You're just calling it something different.
Uh-huh.
So basically, they say it protects the guest experience. Dynamic pricing helps keep overcrowding down so you don't wait in line as much. But the reality is people can only travel at certain times when you have kids. And so you are like, this is when we're going. And so you're going to end up having to pay more if you want to go and enjoy Legoland in the future or other places like that.
And I tell you, if you're a kid and you're listening, I want to tell you right now, when your parents take you to Disney, Lego, wherever, you say, thank you.
Say it a lot.
Never say, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Say,
it's hot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Very grateful because you have no idea how much this costs. Yeah. It's like Disney does this. Uber does this. Wendy's tried to do this.
Yep.
Remember a few weeks ago when they're like, we're going to have dynamic pricing on fast food? And people were like, exactly. And they're like, hey, we were just kidding. We didn't mean it. And so they pull back off of that. Here's my problem, though. Let's say Legoland is normally $100, okay? Because they're saying it's dynamic pricing. It's not surge pricing. So it's $100 a day. Let's just use that as an example. So now with surge pricing, that same ticket in a different time of year could be $150. So now your family of four is paying $200 extra dollars, okay? So fine, I understand that, what you're doing. But now, let's say we're in off-season. Do you think that that $100 ticket now is cheaper than $100?
No, like
absolutely
50,
yeah. not. No, see, that's no. the thing. They're taking their baseline price that they were charging across the board, and they're just adding. That is surge pricing. It's not dynamic pricing because you're never adjusting it lower than your base price.
Because you would think
that's
that
the problem.
If they wanted to, in, let's say, off season when they just
right.
don't get a lot of people, and they say, man, it'd be great if we could get more people in here.
Right.
If you lowered the price,
let's,
maybe you
let's
would.
Let's do $50 tickets. Yeah, they're not going to do that. Though
no.
you know that's the thing, so it is surge price,
and they don't need the money. Let's be honest, Lego, they don't need the money. Disney, you don't need the money.
Lego
Come
sets
on.
Are so expensive,
I
man.
Know.
Like, and I love Lego. Like, it's fun. I could never afford them as a kid, and so now as an adult, I buy a couple sets. But even some of these, I'm like, I can't afford that. That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. But so anyway, just be aware of that. Like, if you're planning summer trips and things like that to different amusement parks or pretty much anywhere now, you should look at that and see if you're going to be held up by the surge pricing or dynamic pricing, as people are calling it. Now. Lifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. This is the Super Bowl of Christianity coming up this weekend. It is Easter, you know, Good Friday tomorrow. And this is one of those things that the resurrection of Jesus is so integral to our faith and to what we believe and his godliness and his humanity. And so we have a world's biggest small group study. It's like an 8-day study. You can jump in now mm-hmm. and catch up. It's never too late. You can do it even
right.
past Easter, because the stories and the revelations about things that maybe you hadn't thought of before within the story can actually be like super transformative in your faith.
Yeah, text the word Easter to 91979 and we will send you a link so you can join that world's biggest small group.
Yeah, we partnered with Tara Lee Cobble and she's great. Like, she has a read through the Bible in a year. My wife did it, and every day she would do a podcast with it. She's super insightful with faith. And so here's a little snippet from the world's biggest small group about the empty tomb.
When Peter and John come to see for themselves, John stoops to look in, but Peter, ever the daredevil, goes into the tomb all the way, then John follows. John's account says they both saw the linen grave clothes folded up and placed aside. One reason this is noteworthy is because they may have still wondered at this point if his body had been stolen by grave robbers. But thieves don't fold laundry. They would have never taken the time to unbind him, fold the clothes up and place them to the side. They'd just take the body out, mummy rags and all. So this is one of the disciples' first clues that Jesus has risen from the dead.
So inside of our faith, you know, we talk about God, Jesus raising from the dead, and that's the atonement for our sins. But then the metaphor, even Betty Rock busted out some Tara Lee Cobble kind of wisdom here and talked about other resurrection.
Yeah, the things that God has resurrected in your life, you could say that that was a friendship, a relationship, a marriage. You can say that it was just your expectancy in life. Maybe you were going down this really bad road and God was able to resurrect that and make something come out of it that was good.
So that's what we want to talk about with you. What was that resurrection in your life? Was it hope? Was it friendship? Whatever. I mean, we're just really curious about that and your story about God doing a work in your life. So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. And we'd love to hear your story right now. What was that thing that you felt God resurrected in your life?
He resurrected the relationship with my mom. We had gone 10 years without seeing each other, speaking to each other at all, all because of my dad and their divorce. And so 10 years later, and God had just really brought me to my knees, just emptying my heart of, you know, anger and bitterness, and just filled me with forgiveness. And she actually had a brain tumor. God absolutely healed her from that and used that to bring us back together in a relationship that I didn't think, you know, I would ever have. He is resurrected into the most beautiful mother-daughter relationship. She's my best friend in the whole wide world, and I'm thankful every day that he has given her back to me.
It would be easy to regret the 10 years lost, you know, but the beautiful thing is you zero it out, you start over, and you're like, okay, I'm thankful for every day from here on because he did resurrect that relationship. That's awesome.
Lindsay, what advice would you give to anyone who might be walking through something similar?
You've got to give it all to God, and something that we think that is impossible, he absolutely makes possible.
So have you ever had that kind of happen to you, Steph?
I have, and it's taken years to kind of see that resurrection, but it's there. Years ago, I was in a very abusive relationship, and I got pregnant, and I made the choice to terminate that pregnancy. I was a Christian, too, and I made that choice and lived with guilt for so many years. I'm now married to a wonderful man. We have two beautiful babies, and I finally feel this forgiveness, and I see the life in my babies, and I don't have this weight over my soul anymore. I believe that my baby's with God, and I'll see full resurrection when I'm in heaven with them.
Abortion is such a hot button issue, and I get it. And one of the things they never have in the brochure on the pro-choice side is the guilt that you feel, you know, from this. And you lived that and carried that for so long. You know, and so I'm glad that you found healing in that, because the reality is, no matter what you do, your mistake there or my mistake here, whatever it is, God forgives us instantly for those things when we ask, but we don't forgive ourselves sometimes for years.
Yeah, I had been married to my husband for, I think, 5 years before I finally was able to just tell him what I had done in my past.
Well, here's the deal. I love that we have these conversations here because there isn't judgment here. You know, that's the thing. That's not the case in a lot of circles when you talk about this, even in Christian circles. And so I really appreciate your honesty. And can you make that baby be quiet, please? No. but no, I really appreciate your honesty and that you feel like it's a safe place for you to share that. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you guys.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting Way FM. This here is the Wally Show with a little good news giddy up. It's a roundup of some good news stories because the regular news can be a bit of a bummer. I'm going to start with you, Betty Rock.
There's a couple in Oklahoma. They were on vacation. Suddenly they get a call and they're like, hey, this roofing company, they called to say, we accidentally removed the roof on your house. And they got the address wrong. So I guess one of their neighbors needed to get their roof removed.
And a roof, they'll do it in a day. Like, so before you even know what's happening, like, oh, it's done. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's gone. But here's what they did. The company did it right. They installed an upgraded new roof for the couple. And free of charge, of course. And they did such a good job that now that couple is recommending that company, that roofing company, to all of their friends and family.
That would have been so funny if they're like, hey, we need to charge you for this. I know it's our bad, but you did get a new roof. How about we split the cost? No, how about you just
right.
eat that one?
Or they just put back on the shingles that they had torn off.
I want my old roof back. I like my old roof better, please. Gavin, good news, giddy up, go.
Coca-Cola just did something big for the environment. All versions of Coke sold in 20-ounce bottles will now come in bottles made with 100% recycled plastic.
Okay, well, that is a good thing because a lot of the stuff that you recycle actually doesn't get back into the product.
I found that out.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, why
are they
getting on to us? Yeah, they're telling us you need to recycle. But then we do, and then they don't even use it.
Because it costs more money a lot of times. And so it's interesting that they're doing this. I hope it doesn't make the Coke taste different. Oh, I'm a Coke aficionado.
Don't let it slip into your head.
What? You would rather this world burn to the ground because your Coke doesn't taste the same.
Look, whether this world lasts another 1,000 years or 999 years because they didn't use the recycled plastic, I'm okay with that to have the Coke taste good, you know?
I mean, so. You probably only have 30-ish years left, so.
Probably generous, thank you. and finally, there was a woman named Angelica who had a lot to celebrate. She not only celebrated the completion of her chemotherapy treatment by ringing the bell. That's a tradition in a lot of cancer institutes. She goes in, she rings the bell. All her family and friends have lined the hallway to watch her do this. But right after she rings the bell, her boyfriend drops to a knee and asks her to marry him.
That's even better.
Look how happy Gavin just got.
That's so sweet.
That's love to the 10th degree.
Yeah,
I love it.
Exactly. Love that. So that is definitely a reason to celebrate, and that's why we do Good News Giddy Up.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Gavin.
Here in this room, we have had debates about
everything.
That's very true. But one of them is about coming into work when you're feeling sick.
Mm.
Now, if I had to give my personal take on this, I think you have to feel pretty rough.
Yeah.
Temperature's got to be pretty high. If
you got the sniffles, you should be here.
A low 99 temperature with, some sniffles, like you said, I think you're okay to come to work. Probably.
I got the sniffles today. I think I'm kind of starting to get a little sick, but I'm here because I don't think you should take that day off.
I want to give everybody
I don't think you should take that day. COVID set a dangerous trend.
Mm.
You call out sick for everything now.
Listen, I agree. I don't think you need to call out for everything, but I think also you need to respect everyone's idea of what is worthy enough to take a sick day from.
Sure.
You said sure, but you need to mean sure.
But you, by the same token, you would have to respect mine going, I'm coming into work today because I just got the sniffles, because I don't define sick like other people do.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Don't you hate it? You liberal. You hate it when someone hits you with the truth.
Whoa,
huh?
I think that's the first time I've ever been called a liberal.
But
wow.
Again, like I said, we debate this stuff. It's a debate.
It can get passionate.
But I found this article that actually says that the average American spends 84 hours a year working sick. Now, that equates to about 10 and a half work days or 2 weeks worth of sick time, but also work time at the same time. A lot of people said that they, would rather power through the illness than take the actual sick day. And then some people say that they worry that people might, think they're being lazy or being a wimp, and they want to avoid that persona of themselves.
For sure. When people I just don't feel great today and they take the day off, that bothers me because you leave everybody else in the lurch. When you're really sick, you need to take the day. I haven't had that happen yet.
Ever?
Yeah, it will eventually happen. I've been sick a few times.
COVID? I'm coming. Pneumonia?
I've missed a couple days from being sick in the last year. Last couple years.
When?
One or two.
When?
He had.
I've worked with him for almost 16 years.
I had COVID. They forced me to stay out.
But even then, I remember you had said that you weren't actually feeling like
I would have been here.
Incarnate.
Yeah, I could have been here. It would have felt like it was just a cold. And I would have come in, but I know. It's hard to remember when I've taken sick days. I've taken one or two in the last 5 years.
I did think the interesting kind of the end.
Ooh, wow, something to be proud of.
So tough,
You're so tough.
But this job is different though. Yeah. If I take the day off, it changes the dynamic of what happens on the show, and it's not like
I think we're letting our personal opinions get in the way of Gavin's story.
Gavin, your opinions matter. Well,
go
now
ahead,
I'm just divert. Okay. Well, the ending part of this article I thought was interesting was that it says that we are, more likely to skip out on seeing our friends when we're feeling sick than we are to miss a day of work.
Oh, really?
So, if I had a day and I was like, hey, I have work today, and then later I have, so-and-so that I'm hanging out with, I would choose to go to work, and then I would bail on the hanging out.
Really? Okay, now let me ask you guys this.
That's what this says.
Did you guys have the rule when you were a kid, if you're too sick to go to school, you're too sick to go out and play and things like that, right? Did you guys have that rule?
You had to stay inside, stay in bed.
Yeah, I still have that same rule for work. If I'm too sick to go to work, then I wouldn't go hang out with my friends because that's in my head. Because then you just took the day off, basically.
Yeah.
But if I go to work sick, I'm going to hang out with my friends, too.
Really?
I made it.
No
one
wants your stomach bug.
Why do you
have to spread it around?
I'm a giver.
You're the problem.
Sue me. I'm a good friend.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show, and it is not quite Easter yet, but it's also not too late for you to join our world's biggest small group. It's an 8-day study on Easter, which is great because it's such an important part of our faith. And sometimes you'll hear things in a story that you've heard 1,000 times, but somebody else brings a different angle to it. And that's why we partnered with Tara Lee Cobble, and she talks about some of the stuff that we're going through in the study. There's videos that she has that you can watch, and she zoned in on a part of the Easter story where the Romans are looking for Jesus, and she said something incredible happened that shows the power of Jesus.
In John's account of this story, in John 18, the soldiers say they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And when he says, "I am he," they fall to the ground. There's no indication that this was voluntary. They weren't there to worship him. This seems like an involuntary response to the revelation of his deity. Philippians 2 tells us that someday, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. And this seems to be just a foreshadowing of that day.
And the Roman soldiers were the biggest and the baddest of the bad back then, you know? And so for them to hit the ground at his deity is impressive, you know?
Says something.
Yeah, and then just a few short days later, that all turned, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at this story from the outside, you're like, well, wow, how did that happen? Or did he not see that coming? Yeah, he saw that coming. That's the whole point of the story, is Jesus was obedient unto death and did the hard thing and the thing that wasn't enjoyable, because he knew that was the plan and the will of God, and he followed through with it. And that's the lesson for all of us, is sometimes God calls us to things that don't feel good, but we need to take our human will and set that aside and follow his will. And when we do, even when it doesn't feel good, life seems to work better, you know, and you feel better about your faith and you're connected to God in a different way when you do that. And that's just part of the Easter story.
Yeah, so if you want to try and realign your heart with what's important this Easter season, text the word Easter to 91979. We'll send you a link to the world's biggest small group. That's Easter to 91979.
Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. A lot of times when one of us goes on vacation, we'll do a slippity slide show in our aftercast. And that way you can actually watch it. We'll share some of the stories behind some of the photos that we took. And so I was in Portugal and saw some amazing things, a lot of history, some funny things happened, some weird things happened.
And that's why I like it when you do a slippity slide show, because it's not your typical grandparents' vacation slide that you have to sit there and watch. No, this is different, because he'll show us photos, but the weirdest, craziest things will happen to Wally.
Like my wife using the men's room by mistake in a place. That was really funny. This one I shot a video of, because I'm standing outside the door going, "You're in the men's room." She's like, "I am not." And then I like open the door and I peer in and there's urinals there. I'm like, "What do you think the water fountains are over there?"
Oh my gosh. Bless her heart.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to follow along with us.
Yeah. Text the word Wally to 91979. When you do that, you're going to join our Wally Show texting group. And I'm going to be sending out a text with the link around the time. We'll be doing this later on today. But if you don't want to miss it, text the word Wally to 91979 and we will send you that link. Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
There are some jobs that can seem to ask a lot from you, and I wouldn't put acting in that category, but I stand corrected. I found a list of the grossest things A-list actors were asked to eat for the sake of a movie role.
Oh, I do love this, because I just assume they always fake that stuff.
Nope.
Oh, I'm mad respect to the actors that do it then.
Mm-hmm. The first one is Mark Hamill with his role as Luke Skywalker.
What did he have to eat?
In the 1977 Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, he had to drink the infamous blue milk.
Okay.
He described it as warm, oily, and sickly sweet.
Oh.
As well as gag inducing.
I like sickly sweet.
It sounded not actually terrible until you got to the gag inducing.
Yeah, they started selling that, like, I think at Disney World in Star Wars
but
Land.
But it's actual milk, right?
Yeah. The one that they'll produce. I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Oh, no. That would
be gross. But it's not nasty. It's not gag inducing.
You know, people pay $12 for it.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just add some blue tint
coloring
to milk, but they didn't.
And then give them some cookies to dump after, you know?
Delicious.
Now, I get it, like, if the role is, if you're supposed to not like it, then that makes sense. Make it gross so that as an actor, you take it and you then have that visceral reaction to it. That makes sense.
Yeah. So would you do it?
Like for the money he made? Absolutely.
Okay. The next one, Leonardo DiCaprio. For his leading role in 2015's The Revenant, he had to actually eat raw bison liver.
Oh, I remember that.
I do remember that, too.
What a good actor.
Yeah.
But you would think.
Yeah, make it gummies.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's you can make anything.
Make it cake.
Yeah, make it a fake like bison liver and make it a gummy bear, you know?
Make it a gummy bear.
I can act.
Strawberry flavored.
Yeah, you're an actor. I'd be like, look, I'm an actor. I will make it look like this is gross, but it'll be the best thing I've ever had.
But would you do that?
Not that one. I mean, he was making a grip of cash.
Millions of dollars.
I would throw up, though. That's the problem. That scene would be ruined. I would tell the director, I'd be like, look, we can do it your way, or you can get me a gummy one, but I'm going to throw up if I do this. If that's what you want, if that's what you want for your movie, fine.
It's the same reaction he would give you for a stem of broccoli.
He's
going to throw up.
We ate broccoli on the show, and I threw up. Like, it's so bad.
And finally, Andy Serkis. I think that's how you say
Serkis.
Serkis?
Yeah.
Oh.
Serkis.
Andy Serkis. He played the role of Gollum in 2003's The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. I guess when he's turning from my prophet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're
that guy.
I know what you're getting here.
He was asked to eat fish. Yeah. Gelatin.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Gelatin.
Yeah, that'd be gross.
That's disgusting.
Where did that come from?
There are places. It's not a part of the fish, I can tell you that. Yeah, there are places like that. That's a delicacy, too. Okay,
really?
Here's one for you. Sylvester Stallone, Rocky 1. He's training.
He's in Philadelphia.
Cracks an egg. Cracks an egg.
Yeah.
Cracks an egg. 12 raw eggs into a glass and then slams it.
Yes. Real?
Yes, real.
He looks like he does for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's a lot
slammed
of protein.
Eight, like 8 or 12, whatever it was. One is too many. Like raw eggs.
No.
Like, it,
no.
Then, my wife would have been yelling, Salmonella! Like, I can't even have anything remotely that has been near a chicken touch the countertop without her rushing in behind me to wipe it down. She would have tackled Sly and wiped his face down after that for sure. So. All right, there you go. That's going to do it for your Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. And I'm going to give you the heads up on this right out of the gate. Probably going to say some things people don't like here. But I'm trying to work through something that I saw on TikTok the other day. And it was a prayer that I don't know that I agree with. Okay? I'm not a pastor. I'm an idiot radio jock, and I'm like you. I'm someone that has faith, and I'm trying to figure out all my faith all the time. Like, and I'm learning and things like that. But like, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know all the answers. Okay, so I'm gonna play this little clip of audio, and then get your reactions to it. Okay, and I'll share with you mine, and then we can have a discussion. Because who knows? Maybe you'll help me understand it in a way that I'm not seeing currently. So this was the video that I saw the other day.
I have had so many of you asking me, Kathy, would you please do a prayer for lactose intolerance? So in the name of Jesus, I come against lactose intolerance right now in Jesus' name. I speak and decree that your digestive system receives and processes dairy properly in the name of Jesus Christ. No bloating, no diarrhea, no upset stomach. I break this curse off of you and I speak and decree Jesus' healing over you. Friends, keep believing, praying, and listening to this reel and be healed.
Okay, and be healed. Okay, so here's my thing on this. All right, and again, I'm willing to be educated here. To me, random prayers about lactose intolerance is not the whole idea of prayer. Like, you're like, I come against the spirit of lactose intolerance. I never knew there was a spirit of lactose intolerance. And, like, who is that for? Like, who are you praying that for? Like, if I was to say, like, let's say Betty Rock has lactose intolerance. And she says, man, would you guys pray for me? I would pray for you. I would say, you know, God, help Betty as she goes through this. You know, give doctors wisdom. Give her peace and comfort as, you know, she doesn't feel good on those days. And, you know, help us, you know, treat her well and help us love her while she's having bad days. Like, that would be my prayer for that. Never would I try to bind the spirit of lactose intolerance, but I wasn't raised like that. I wasn't raised in churches like that where you pray against everything in the name of Jesus and stuff like that. So, again, it's an area I don't understand. But to me, it's like, what is that? Who is that prayer for? You know, and does it have any validity? It'd be like today, in my opinion, it would be like, praying for traveling mercies. I always love those at small group. Praying for traveling mercies for everyone today. Just the randomness of TikTok. I'm going to pray for traveling mercies today for everybody. Well, guess what? People are going to die in plane crashes, boat crashes, train crashes today. That's the reality. Oh, hey, positive and uplifting. Sorry. But that's a reality. You know, it doesn't change the outcome of a lot of different things when you just throw random words into the air. Versus beseeching God and going to God with that relationship with Him and having, you know, people that you're bringing before Him versus just genericness, you know?
I don't think it's wrong to ever pray about something that is bothering another individual.
Sure.
And I think you would agree with that.
I do agree with that.
I think what your issue is with all of this is the wording. Am I correct in saying that?
It's the wording to some degree, and it's just the randomness of it. Like you said, praying for an individual, like praying for somebody specifically versus just this random prayer for a medical condition across the board.
You say medical condition. Would this apply to the conversation if her whole prayer had been praying to bind the spirit of, like, cancer?
Yeah, for who? Like,
well, I think she was specifying that. She said a lot of people have asked her to pray against lactose intolerance. So the people that are asking for it, I'm assuming that's the spirit of lactose intolerance. She's praying against it for those individuals, not just everybody in the world.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could
man.
Be wrong. I don't know.
Like, because even like when there's a tragedy and we have a prayer that's running on the air, to me, I have a problem with that. And not that I have a problem with prayer on the air. It's that you've written it down, you've run it once, and then now it's running over and over and over again. And it's almost like it's to show that you're just not tone deaf to what happened versus a real prayer beseeching God for something. Do you see what I mean? Am I making any sense?
No, you are. But then what does that look like?
I don't know.
How do you do that then? Because, for instance, this woman that's praying, we don't know how many people that are watching her at the time. So you don't like the inauthenticity of it all.
It
seems like to you.
Correct.
But then you also don't have a solution. Because the thing is when it comes to a wide audience or a big audience, how do you pray for each individual? You can't.
Right. And that's where
it's humanly impossible.
But I think you're zoning in on what my problem is. My problem is prayer one to one, one for one, to God, I think is the way to do it versus I'm praying over this entire congregation. You know, just like I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Like, that's my issue is that it's this random, it just hits everybody, you know, kind of thing versus it being specific for somebody. I think prayer is very intimate. And I think we make it non-intimate when we just genericize it, you know, and make it for just whoever happens to... Like, I'm praying and you happen to walk in the way of my prayer. Like, oh, good, that's for you today, you know, kind of thing. So,
well, then what's the solution?
The solution is praying for people specifically that you're in their life, you know, and that you're going to God on their behalf.
Of course, but when it comes to a big audience, like
I don't know
this
that you,
woman
then I, that's what I'm saying.
Like
I don't know that it matters. That's what,
like
that's my point.
The prayer shouldn't even be said?
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I think that's where I'm at. I think the take is, hey, if you struggle with this, you know, get somebody in your life and have them pray with you and things like that versus just doing, I'm going to bind the spirit of lactose intolerance in general, you know? And again, I'm willing to be 100% wrong on this, and I'm willing to have my mind completely changed. So I would love to get your take on this. I know that was kind of ranty, and I apologize, but it really did hit me wrong. So we'll take your thoughts. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on it.
Well, you know, what does the word say? The word says, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It doesn't say that it has to be one-on-one. And if you can, you know, I don't know I know the Bible pretty well, but I can't recall every scripture. So maybe if you have a scripture that says it has to be one-on-one that I'm not aware of, then maybe that would stand. But other than that, I don't think the Bible specifically says we have to pray one-on-one. We always have to go back to what the Word says, right?
Right.
Even in church, the pastor typically will pray over the congregation. And I believe anyone under his voice at that time is who the prayer is for.
Can I ask you a question about this? So let's say my pastor does this every Sunday. Hey, I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And he prays this prayer at the end of church. So let's say I go to this church, I'm a member of this church, and I happen to miss that day. Do I miss that prayer? Is that prayer blessing not account to me because I wasn't there to hear it?
Well, if he says he's praying for the congregation and you're a part of the congregation, then I would think it's also for you.
All right. Yeah. These are the things about prayer that I don't understand. And I'm not uh-huh. trying to sway anybody in either direction. This is just kind of an open forum and an honest question to try to figure out better, like, how prayer actually works. So I appreciate you being on the show with us today and sharing your perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why do you have to go to Kathy to be this person to pray for? I don't understand this.
I understand why a wide cast net may sound disingenuous, but I think what you're missing is if we're not casting a wide net, we may be leaving out people that have no one else to pray for them. So if we're supposed to pray one-on-one for somebody we know or specifically name somebody in a prayer, there's going to be people out there that aren't getting any prayer at all. So if we say something, I'll use the last example, praying over a congregation. I can sit in my church and say, Lord, I hope, hearts are broken today and people come to know you. And I don't know them specifically and I don't know who's in the room, but it may touch somebody that may not have anyone else praying for them. That was my thought. Not necessarily the lactose intolerance thing itself, although I see no problem with that.
Sure.
But if we're afraid to cast a net or pray for people in general, people in the room, people at an event, people in a situation, a tragedy that we don't know, that we can't name, then maybe no, they're not getting prayer at all.
Teresa, when you walk into a room, are you generally the smartest woman in that room?
Absolutely not.
Oh, really? Because I would debate that because I think you are, actually. That is a really great perspective that I had not considered. And that's why I'm talking about this. Look, I know it doesn't make me look like a great believer, but I have questions about things. And so I really, really, really appreciate your perspective in that way. It really helped me see it a little bit differently. So thank you.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate all you guys do.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. We kind of started talking about this prayer that I had seen on TikTok. Here's a little bit of it.
I have had so many of you asking me, Kathy, would you please do a prayer for lactose intolerance? So in the name of Jesus, I come against lactose intolerance right now in Jesus' name. I speak and decree that your digestive system receives and processes dairy properly.
Okay, so you get the idea. And so I like... This hit me wrong, and I'm going to be the first to tell you, A, I'm not a pastor, B, I don't understand everything about prayer, I know I'm called to pray, and I do pray, obviously, and I know that maybe my doubts in this make me look like a bad believer, but the point of all of this is that we can have conversations about stuff, because nobody has it all figured out, those are the people that scare me that think they do,
mm-hmm.
Because God says his ways are not our ways, and you won't fully understand me, but like, I think as I've talked about this prayer, the thing that I keep coming back to is, why are people going to Kathy, for their lactose? It's kind of like when, in the early church, you had to go to somebody to be your intercessor. But that's what Jesus is. Jesus is mm-hmm. our intercessor. So why can you not just go and pray to Jesus? Like, hey, I'm struggling with this. This is not fun. You know this about me. It's bad. Or, you're praying for a family member. You're like, Lord, bring them comfort and peace and give doctors wisdom. Like, why is a generic prayer from a lady in TikTok... Does that matter?
I don't think it does, but okay. I will say this. If there is someone that is feeling shame or guilt over their past decisions and they don't have their relationship with God, or maybe they don't understand his full character and that he forgives our sins and makes us righteous in his sight, maybe this is the step they need to ask someone else to step in for them and pray for them.
Okay.
I'm not saying that is by the Bible, but I'm saying if it does help bring someone closer to Jesus and have that kind of relationship that they are looking for, then Who's it going to hurt?
Because I do understand, too, that people pray on different levels. You know, like my sister would definitely be, my oldest sister would definitely be, you know, pray in the name of Jesus to bind something. Like, that's her world. Like, I'm not sure who is the evil one behind lactose intolerance that you're binding, you know. But it's a different world for me, you know. Mm-hmm. Like this lady, Kathy, I'm binding lactose intolerance. Okay, fine. But that's part of my issue with it. And that's just a prayer style. And I think we all relate to God differently. But Gavin, who struggles with lactose intolerance, I believe.
I have stomach issues.
Yeah, you do. How are you feeling today? This prayer has been prayed. It's been multiple times on
it's
the
been
air.
Decreed.
You've been an earshot of this. Is it bound in your name,
you know,
in Jesus' name in your life?
I'm not in the bathroom right now, so I think it's doing all right.
You know what? So maybe if just one person's healed today, it's all worth it. If that one person was Gavin, then I guess I stand corrected. This was a good day and a good thing.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.